Good morning. Today's reading is on page 715 of the Church Bible, and it's taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them in the guest room. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured us up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thanks, Mary Jo. Morning. Just if people, if you have some kids that need, we have some activity sheets in the foyer there if everyone needs one of those. So we're coming up to Christmas. Has been the surprises of Christmas, unexpected things in the story. Today I want to start with a bit of a quiz so you can work this thing through, specifically signs, because there's something about a sign in this story today. So here's the first sign. Here's the sign. What does that point to? You stop, right? You got to stop. The sign says stop, so it tells you got to stop. Here's another one. Right turn. The sign points to something. You can't turn right. Maybe it's dangerous or illegal. Here's one. Traffic lights are coming. Maybe to stop. Here's another one. I'm not sure there's any of those around this area, but there are signs like Australia. Emus on the road. Now here's one. When I saw this, I thought this is an interesting sign. So what are you supposed to do, right? You got to stop. You can't go right, left, back, or forward. You're stuck forever. Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house. Time came for the census in Bethlehem. This was their ancestral village. Family history was very important for these people. This is why Jesus is linked in with the prophecy in Bethlehem. All that's happening, they end up in Bethlehem, where the baby's born. So in the Old Testament, there was a David the king received a prophecy from the prophet Nathan, and he was told, one of your descendants will be on the throne forever. That was the prophecy to King David. His throne would endure forever. And also the prophet Micah had said about Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. So you have these two prophecies being brought together by the fact that Jesus is born in Bethlehem, the city of David. So Caesar, the ruler of all, he's the king in Rome, he does a census. Doing what Caesars do, he's counting the people. He wants to know how big the army's going to be, how many taxes he can get. That's what the census is about. He makes this decree, go to their hometown to register. Becomes the catalyst for these events, which results in two important prophecies being fulfilled. I don't think Caesar had any idea what he was saying. God uses the command of Caesar, which is very uncomfortable for to make sure the Messiah is born in Bethlehem. And we see this in the Bible. World rulers do what they do. They rule nations behind the scenes. God uses them for his purposes, even though they have no idea what they're doing. So it says they went to register with Mary, who is pledged to be married, expecting. So imagine in Bethlehem, Joseph is one of the people from Bethlehem. He's a relative. And he comes with this lady Mary. They want to stay for a few days. It's quite busy. Imagine one of your relatives rocking up to your house with a pregnant wife, pregnant lady, expecting the child soon. What are you going to do? Now, in this society, it's very difficult to imagine not openly letting them in. This is a hospitable society. Hospitality is very significant. Traditionally, it says there is no room at the inn. Now, we think about an inn, we think about a hotel. Probably not a hotel, more like a family, not a commercial hotel. And probably guest room is the best way to say this. In the New Testament, when Jesus has to find a room to have the Last Supper in, it's the guest room where you have the celebration. So Jesus eats his Passover with the disciples in the same sort of place. Imagine at your place there's a guest room, probably something like that. So Joseph is a relative, he's a local, Mary's very pregnant, the house is full. You're going to turn them away? Unlikely to turn them away. Probably there is shame involved because she's not married to Joseph. They're engaged but not married. Big deal. Go back 50 or 70 years in our culture and find similar realities at play. She was only pledged to be married, what we might call engaged. So in a society, this is a big deal. So wherever they stayed, wasn't prepared to let them in the house. There was no room. Not going to make room for them, not even for a pregnant lady. But they're also not prepared to put them out on the street. What's the solution? You can stay where the animals are. Not the best solution for a pregnant lady, but it's better than having nowhere to stay. So we have the first mention in the story of the manger. The manger is going to feature significantly in this story. Jesus in the manger. There was nowhere else to go, so she makes the best of a difficult situation. What is a manger? If you know French, je mange means I eat. It means to eat. It's the food trough for the animal. The manger is something like on the side there. It's a place where the animals get their food. The baby's laid there. But instead of animal food, we have this baby. You don't normally find babies in animal troughs. It's symbolic. It's a sign and it's pointing to something. Let's go on in the story. Here's the next. The angel appears to the shepherds and announces the birth of Jesus. Then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, angels are pretty impressive. We see them for the first time in the biblical story. When an angel showed up, people were terrified. They would often fall over. They were terrified. Angels turn up when heaven has something important messages about the future of the world, about God's plans for humanity. These are often conveyed by angels. To whom do the angels make the announcement? Shepherds. Shepherds are pretty much the bottom of the social hierarchy. About the same level as tax collectors and dung sweepers. Interesting, isn't it? This news from heaven about the birth of this king, the Messiah, is given to the shepherds first. It's earth-shattering news and people whom society would consider not important. And I think we see that in Christmas story. God works through unexpected people. This extends through much of the New Testament. It's not the high, it's not the noble, it's not the rich or the powerful. Very often God comes to the humble, the poor, the least. He doesn't see things like we do. He does not value what we value. What is important to us in terms of status and importance, that means nothing to God. So here's the message. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Here's the Messiah, the Lord. The Old Testament's been looking forward to this for hundreds of years. And the message, again, it mentions David, the great Israelite king, would bring to mind all the hopes that they had that one day God would rescue them. One day they would have this king that would be their savior. So this child, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the city of David, is declared as the Messiah, the savior, the king who was to come. He's here. Fantastic news. Long awaited. And it comes to the lowliest of people. The circumstances of the birth are unusual. The baby is in a manger. We get used to the Christmas story. It's meant to jolt us and say, this is not meant to happen. The angel says, you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And this is a sign. Remember? The sign, it points to something. What might the sign point to? Well, at the most basic level, I think to when you see a baby in the manger, you'll know you're at the manger. You can't mistake it because you won't see that twice. You've got the right child. Read the great angels appear in the sky, a whole army of angels glorifying God. How many? Thousands, maybe. They praise God. They say, glory to God in the highest, on earth, people on whom his favor rests. The shepherds are impressed, and so they hurry off to check what the angels have mentioned. So the shepherds, let's go to the next one. The shepherds finally arriving, they hurried off, found Joseph and the baby, who was, for the third time, lying in the manger. The third time. We should recognize when something's repeated three times, the original was something. When stories are ancient world, you're not reading a book and say, hang on a minute, that's what's about the, you can go back when you're reading, you go back, I'll read that again. When you're listening to a story, you can't do that. If you want to tell, if it's an oral culture and you're telling someone about something, and you'll say, I want to emphasize it, you can't underline it, you can't do any of that. What you can do is you can use repetition. Oh, that's one of the things you can do. Repeat something several times because that's the focus. You want to say something through this. And through this story, something's being emphasized by the baby being in the manger. Third time, Mary lays the baby in a manger. The second time, the angel says, it's a sign that the baby's in a manger. third time, the shepherds discover it is true. The baby is in a manger. Three times, the author's saying, I want to say something. I want you to focus on the baby being in the manger. There's something here we can't miss. And we're told it's a sign. Signs are important. They accompany great events. They give confidence to people that this really is God at work. And they often reveal the nature of God by what the sign tells them. Babies don't usually lie in mangers. The baby is not where it should be. So what is it about this baby? Why is it in the manger? If we're going to understand the sign, we need to think about that idea. Why is the baby in the manger? What does it mean? Remember, mange means to eat. The baby is the place of eating. Does it mean the baby is food for animals? No, obviously not. But is there an association between this baby and food? This baby is sent from heaven and in the food trough. Now, maybe we should ask the question, is there an association in the story of the Bible between heaven and food? And we find that there is. Here's something from the Old Testament. The Israelites go out into the wilderness, and there's no food, so they ask, where's the food? And now there should be a text come up. Oh, go back. Well, there isn't a text come up. Here's what it says. The Lord says to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people that go out each day and gather enough for comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread. Whoever eats this bread will live for he died. Even though it was from ordinary food, point to something. The baby knows. The baby is the food from heaven. Jesus says, on connection. Lord, help us make reconnections this Christmas. Lord, for those who are companions.
Lord, there are no words we could speak.